another edition of the Latin Babblers Show. It is our main show. We want to welcome Tigra in the house.
Hello, hello, everybody. How you guys doing tonight?
Miss Rocky is with us.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody.
El Bojique, our conspiracy theorist, is with us.
Hey, family, good night. Good night. Good evening. Welcome back.
And again, reality TV with Hannah and Bree.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
It is an amazing week tonight. We have a special guest that we will be introducing later, Kathy the Crafty Chica. But first, some really important news. The Latin Babbler has hit Pandora.
What?
Or Pandora. Woo! Woo!
Hey! Woo!
Woo! Pandora, I believe, is a
Hallelujah.
World.
Pandora. That's actually,
right? So yeah, that definitely. Will put us on iTunes, on Google Play. That'll put us on Spotify. The only one we have left now is Amazon. So that's the one that we're working on. But a major achievement for us. We are about to drop our 1,000th listen by the end of this week.
Yes. Nice. So,
really excited about that. And with that said, let's go right into this week's funny news. We actually have one that I think is personally hilarious because I know that it's happened to us sometimes. So the German police department said officers responded to a report of a possible shooting that arrived to the scene to find a man had simply fallen asleep while watching a loud action movie. So they actually went into this man. They brought a locksmith with them. They had to open the door. They found him just sleeping there. No actual gunfire was being put out there. Just loud action movie. The 34-year-old literally slept on, you know, in front of his TV. How many of you guys have had that happen to you guys?
Oh, so many times.
Well, I haven't fallen asleep, but usually I keep it to a certain level because people will think that you're having like something going on in your apartment. So I always keep it at a nice level just in case.
At a normal level.
Because I know what people think.
Especially in an apartment, right?
Especially. It reminds me of the movie in Home Alone, remember? Like when he has the TV all out and he comes out of nowhere and he's playing it for the robbers.
Right. But well, hold on. But to have the coppers come into your house and the whole nine yards, wow, that's... I mean, for safety, I get it, but a big wait time call.
And wow, 34 years old, super young, like to be like that knocked out in front of the TV.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, he was knocked out to the point where somebody was actually like opening the door with a locksmith and he still hadn't woken up. So they finally got to him while he was asleep. And that's how they turned around and woke him up.
Wow. Right? I feel like I've done that with scary movies. Yeah, for me it's like you hear The Grudge in the background, someone walking in, and I'm just knocked out on the couch.
That movie was so scary.
All right, so the second one, let's see. Man with an abnormally long thumb confirms it's real. So in case you didn't know, there was a Jacob Pena has taken TikTok by storm because he actually created this video where he can actually extend. It's a dislocated thumb, and he can actually extend the length of his thumb to 5.5 inches.
What the heck?
5.5 inches. The video on TikTok. Look him up. It's Jacob Pena. I'm pretty sure it's Pena. Yeah. But Pena. Yeah. You know, we're going to have a fruit. It's a Pena. So, if you go and look this man up, he has his thumb at a normal size. And you're like, okay, what's going on? He's actually watering his thumb. He puts like plant food around it. And out of nowhere, his thumb just elevates 5.5 inches.
How funny.
Does he measure stuff in his thumb?
I don't know. No, I don't know what he does. He's probably snapping people with it, but he's got this confirmed by, because a lot of people were asking, hey, is this real? Is this not real? What's going on? And he actually had this confirmed by a doctor. So they actually went to the doctor and they confirmed
Hilarious.
This man has a 5.5 inch thumb.
He's
an alien.
Life in medical school for this.
Can you imagine? You're at the doctor's and he's like, oh, let me see what your issue. Well, I have one of these. And he extends it.
I have an extended thumb.
The guy just like completely gets out of there.
He retires on the spot.
Just, you know what? I'm going to turn around and leave because this is not normal. So that's nasty, first of all, because I actually saw the video. And if you see the video, you're looking at him. He looks like he's holding stilts in his hand. It's just weird.
I once knew somebody who had two thumbs in one thumb, and it looked like a heart. And everyone was like, this is where your heart is located. And I was like, no, my heart's in the wrong place.
Oh my God.
Two thumbs in one thumb?
So yeah, they were just born that way.
So when he gives like a thumbs up, it doesn't count.
Two thumbs in one hand.
Yeah, he comes. Double thumbs up. Just with one hand.
Well, the way it's shaped, it's shaped like a heart. And so that's why, like, people were like, oh, it says that's where your heart is located. And I would freak out because I'm like, I know my heart is not.
You need to be confirmed by a doctor, please.
Well, damn, I have no heart?
Yeah, no. If you don't have any heart,
started singing like the Wizard of Oz, if I only had a heart.
I only had a normal thumb.
Right? He had a twofer. A twofer. Hey, I wonder how that would be to play video games with.
Oh, yeah. Bro, he can hit A and B at the same time.
He can play PlayStation.
Get him on the show, please.
He can definitely. I'm going to have to look him up. Video of Massachusetts wedding goes viral. And so, for those of you who haven't heard this story, this couple was actually already talking in the wedding about how 2020 had just been a horrible year. Everything that's been going on went wrong. And so they're actually doing their vows. And the man looks at her and says, let's face it, 2020 has not been the best year. And everybody in the crowd starts laughing. And then what happens immediately after that is this massive lightning bolt hit across the lake from where they are. Just like
you're making that up. You are absolutely.
I am not.
That's basically confirming it.
Exactly. If you didn't have a time that it was not time to be married, it would be that. Well, and what happened to me? But other than that.
That's a sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
A serious
absolutely.
Sign.
Absolutely.
He literally goes, 2020 has not been the yex year. And like literally 30 seconds, not even. I think it was like 10 seconds after he says it, after everybody's laughing, boom, lightning bolt hits. You guys have to look it up. It is hilarious.
I would have been like, on that note, doing a bump face and head out.
Yep, right? The wedding was canceled with 2020.
Reschedule.
Latinos are superstition. So, I mean, are you going to turn around and say that that's not a sign? Like, which the bride, like, I think rain is like the sign, right? Isn't there wedding?
That's good luck.
If rain is good luck, lightning is a sign.
Miss Rocky came out of the lake with a sign that said, absolutely, it's a sign. Run the other way.
Instead of speaking up in the wedding, you just let the lightning do all the work. Like, confirming it, don't get married.
I think it's actually a hilarious situation because, if you think about how that plays out and you're sitting there in the crowd or if you're the groom and the bride, that has got to be hilarious. Unless you're superstitious and you're just like, you don't know what to do after that. And you just continue it and then everything fails from your marriage standpoint.
That would have been a Latino. That would have been like, okay, I don't know about
it. I don't know. Latinos would have been like, I already paid for this, so let's go. Let's finish this out.
Yeah, it's happening. Oh, no, you're still getting
it. We got the coronas at the party and the cake. No, we spent like $1,000 on that cake. We got to do this. Let's go. So, we'll deal with the consequences 35 years later. All right. So, for those of you who here is into like karaoke, anybody here like karaoke?
I love karaoke.
Oh, you already know.
Karaoke. Yeah.
So I do too. Couple of beers and a couple of shots later.
Oh, after that, you're Juan Luis Guerra, right? Like,
absolutely.
No, Juan José es del Puma. He's del Puma.
This South African duo broke the karaoke world record. So they actually sang karaoke songs for a total of 35 consecutive hours. 35. How many of you guys could do that?
I would do it with food. Food involved, I'm down.
I mean, they had to have been wearing a catheter or something because it's 35
right.
hours. somebody had a Coke can or something because there's no way you're holding it in for that long.
Bring the mic to the party.
You just drink some Dunkin' Donut coffee and you're good to go.
What?
Here we go. Yeah.
then I'm really gonna have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's not a good plot for karaoke, because you know coffee does something else. So you know.
No, coffee doesn't do that to me, my friend.
Well, it doesn't.
I've been singing all day.
Yeah.
So
they actually, I had a couple shots of tequila, I can go on for 24 hours.
24. You know what? I'm gonna take that bet. One day we're gonna have to do it, and it's going to be like episode 30, where Rocky just karaoke's for 24 hours straight.
Ooh, can I join her? I feel like I sing 35 hours straight on a regular basis.
Well, you're gonna have to sing 38 to beat them, because they got 35. Definitely. They were actually going, by the way, for 48, but they decided to do 35 because they got exhausted. They got absolutely physically exhausted from doing it. So
think about it. It's a day and a few hours. We can do this, man.
Yeah, I feel like that's not
bad. We can do this. You tell me 72 hours, that's a problem. But 35, we can do this.
Yeah, but we're doing this over the radio. Nobody knows whether we're cheating or not. We could just be sitting with our mics and, you know, I don't.
No, but listen, I was a part of an organization called THON at Penn State, and our job was to basically sing and dance for 48 hours. I feel like this is a piece of cake. Who's in? Let's do this.
I'm in.
Yeah, they have dance marathons in universities and stuff like that. To raise money.
You guys, I don't know. I'm tempted. If I create a flyer, that's it. You guys are stuck. So be careful.
What we got to do is we got to sing with our webcam. So nobody knows that we move. We can sit there for the whole time with our webcam singing. La, 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 la.
Even better. We can do
just like that.
We can do we can do pre-recordings of ourselves doing it and just play that while we watch reality TV.
There you go.
With Hannah and Bree.
All right, so let's have a little fun. So today we have the top 10 things you learned or experienced during COVID. Ready? So let's see if any of these fit the bill. Number 10. I'm not proud of number 10, but just you know, go on with me on this. So number 10, your aspirations on that book you thought you wanted to write never started. And you can substitute that with anybody else. There are people here who are probably trying to do diets and they just never actually went well with it. So
check.
We all had a dream of what we were going to do during COVID. Some of us are just procrastinating.
Yeah, my family.
I'm the book guy. I'm the book guy.
You're the book guy.
I'm the man. Right. Right. Yep.
All right. Number 9. Sporting a mask is now a fashion statement. And this is so true. There are people buying masks with everything on them.
I got my print. Don't worry.
You got probably...
I got one that says, spread kindness, not germs.
Spread kindness, not germs. You must.
Yeah, I haven't worn it yet. It's brand new.
You're in Florida, which makes it ironic. So
no, I'm going to put it and make sure people see it.
Yes.
All right, I'm not going
to point at it.
I know at least 2 different people who are selling these, and they have all kinds of prints and designs, everything from football teams to there are people who are going out to dinner, expensive, fancy restaurants with masks that have little bejewels and all kinds of stuff in it.
And like Chanel.
Yeah, Gucci ones and everything.
They got Gucci
Chanel,
ones.
Chanel.
Yeah. The amazing.
The Chanel, the Givenchy. Yeah.
If you guys.
I want to get the Dolphins one.
Why?
I would not sport that. I'm sorry.
If you wear the Dolphins mask, they're bound to catch something. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. A TikTok dance session recording is now a highlight of your evening.
Yep. That's
no.
True.
Nope. I don't have TikTok.
I don't have TikTok.
I'm a TikToker.
But.
I don't either. The government's watching.
COVID has allowed people to now join as a family and start doing these, you know, videos and stuff together. And I don't even know, you know, how they get the choreography done, but they probably spend hours. And at nighttime, they're all showing them up and, you know, it's a multi-million dollar platform and everybody's dancing on it. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, they got all the time in the world to do it now.
Even if China's watching.
Yeah.
We're still on that.
They see me dancing.
He's never gonna let that down because he was proven right on that. So there you go.
That's true.
Hey.
Number 7. Here we go. You would rather walk in the middle of the street to avoid incoming pedestrians.
Mm-hmm. That's always how I meant, though.
That's so true. I have
that's
done
not
that.
New to me.
That's just wrong.
Savage.
I just let them pass first. I go, you go ahead.
Very savage.
The way I see it is, especially if they don't have a mask. If they have a mask, then, you know, we kind of play it by ear. But if they don't have a mask, I am running almost across. I'll get hit by a car before I stand in front of, you know, try to pass right by them. So that's something that definitely.
The other day I was on a walk and I had facts. None on. And some guy came out of his house with nothing on and we just stared at each other. Everything was in slow motion. I was like, how could you do this to me?
Looking at him like, you don't have a mask.
Well, here they're giving tickets for that. So that's not happening here, man.
A buddy of mine's got a $150 ticket for it.
For not wearing a mask?
Yeah, and at that, where he got the ticket for it, it wasn't a mandatory mask yet. So, yeah, I know he's going to fight that. But, yeah, $150.
Mm-hmm. Wow. For $150, you could have bought a ton of masks.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's the ones that come disposable ones, man.
I'm just saying. All right, number six. You actually figured out that you had exercise shoes in the house.
Yeah! I did like five. Like five of them I got. I'm using one every day.
No kidding. In my case, I have weird feet. I've actually bought like three pairs of shoes and none of them fit right. So, you know, it's not working.
Fire disaster you had with your toes.
Maybe that, yeah. After I stepped out of coal and everything, it kept me off.
It was the cold's fault. Yeah.
It was the retrograde, man.
Absolutely. Right. Transformed your feet.
Number five. Your favorite restaurant now has stormtrooper body armored waiters to serve you.
Man, my favorite restaurant closed down. I'm so upset.
No.
Oh, no. What restaurant is that?
Latin Cafe, man. That was the best filetillos that I used to have there. Con arroz habichuela. Y maduro. Y ensalada de aguacate. Yes.
Mm, it applies to my McDonald's, so.
Avocado salad. It's her fried plantains and her rice and beans.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Number Fish four. You channeled your inner barber and gave yourself that cereal bowl haircut from Oliver Twist or the awkward bangs.
Yes.
Not the cereal bowl.
All those backdoor haircuts that were going on in the backyard.
Did you see them? They were all
in the night. Oh,
yeah. Every Dominican just tried to channel their inner barber and failed.
The mushroom haircut.
It's so bad.
Oh my God. Well, I dyed my hair 90s. Myself, so that I did my own hair, so I kind of.
Dyeing is not the same as cutting it, though.
Let me tell you something. Dyeing your hair dark is a problem. If you destroy your bathroom, you're done.
I mean, that's true.
I think that,
I mean, I get that part, but I mean, these people cut their hair. All you have to do is make sure that you don't, you know, stain nothing. Like, you can put somewhere, like.
Oh.
I don't know. No, hey,
we haven't done it in a while. It could be a
maybe. Yeah, it could be something crazy. All right, number three. Any little thing at home makes you snap into war mode.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh wow, was I really the first to respond?
Got some pent up.
I'm like, oh yes.
Yeah, COVID has brought the worst people at some moments where you sit there and you're like, hey, you know, everything's fine. Yes. You're watching TV together.
Yes.
And somebody spills like an ice cube and you just bark. Like, it is the worst thing ever.
So I don't know if you guys have ever seen. I don't know if you've ever seen Poppy from Trolls, but I used to be all pink and nice and then COVID happened and I was like a walking gray troll everywhere. I'm like.
Oh, how funny. Happy. COVID, mental health, huge disclaimer. Be kind, be loving, big issue.
Oh, yes. For sure. I agree to that. Snaps to that.
You just brought down the mood. Number two.
Man. Talk about party pooper. Damn.
You notice that even though you have time, you still don't do the dishes.
Absolutely right. They sit there for days.
The land babbler threw me under the bus.
Bro, I'm telling you. Think about it. Well, there are people who just sit there and look at them. Me, personally, I have to do it, so I don't do it. But there's people who, like, will live alone, and they will just sit there. They'll keep grabbing.
Oh, no.
Yeah?
I wash them dishes. As soon as I finish eating, I wash them right away. What I do look at is my laundry. I'm like, damn, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It never gets done.
I get in trouble for those. Make sure you get those before you go to work. Yeah, I got it.
All right, let's see. And the number one thing you learned or experienced during COVID is you actually enjoy it when the drive-through worker decides to have a chat with you before giving you your food as others behind you honk crazy.
So true. I talk to everybody. I have a conversation with everybody. They look at me like, this girl crazy. I go, how are you doing in Walgreens? Are you doing okay? It's been a long time. They're like, hurry up, moving on, moving on.
Just take your prescription, please. Introvert. Nope.
Do you remember what it was like before, though? You used to go to the drive-thru and you get your meal and the person's like, oh, how are you today? Look, just give me my food. I have things to do. I got to go.
No, but I have known that the opposite. Well, I was always like that. They're so rude.
That they're so rude that when
they give you the food, they don't say anything to you. I say
thank you.
They just
look at you like, mm-hmm.
Are you a huge cunt? Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess.
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
No, I just tell them like this just to make them feel even better. Thank you for serving us. Thank you for having my cheeseburger available. Thank you.
But you know what I think has been cool, though? Like, for me, like, I love to talk to people and look at them in the eyes. And same. I like for people to do that with me. So what I've noticed is because of the mask, you can't really read people's lips. You can't really hear them.
Yes.
So people are focusing on each other's eyes to kind of... So I think that's neat.
You know one COVID. Thing we didn't talk about, though, that wasn't in your top 10, Babbler?
What's that?
Now that everybody sneezes, everybody thinks they have COVID. Oh, my God. She sneezed. What? Oh, my God. He coughed. Oh my God, that's one thing that's changed my life.
I mean, that technically falls under the you know, you start walking into the middle of the street on the thing.
Yeah,
but
it's changed your life.
Yeah,
it's changed your life.
Yeah.
You can't cough even if you have something.
Oh, he's COVID.
You can't cough. You're like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Oh my God.
Yeah, and if you sneeze, you hear that coronavirus in the back.
And when you're home alone, you sneeze and you run and get hand sanitizer right away. I cannot have it on my hands. Hurry up. Wash your hands.
You gotta repaint your house. You gotta pick up a new arts and crafts hobby. That's all kind of the stuff that I'm
doing. Hey, that hits later.
I know. It's
coming. It's later.
All right,
hold on.
I did my backsplashes in my kitchen, so that's kind of like artsy.
There you go.
That was fun.
Reality TV with Hannah and Bree.
All right. Okay, so this week, Hannah and I want to talk about the latest episode of the MTV series Catfish. And all I have to say is, your sister did what? So before we talk about the episode, for those of you guys who do not know, Catfish is a reality TV series that helps people who form online relationships but have never met in person. So on this show, the co-hosts Neve and now Cammie, not Max, help them reveal if their significant other is real or a different person behind the screen. So first of all, I just want to be honest and say that I love that the show is still going on even during COVID and that the Catfish are now revealing themselves through Zoom. But I'm going to have my girl Hannah tell you all about what happened last week.
So yeah, it's all on Zoom, but it's virtually the same thing. Basically, we got this guy named Dre. He's our star of the episode. He is married, or at least in a long-term relationship, and has a kid. And he's been cheating on that woman with a girl that he only knows through the internet. So anyways, they are talking, and I think they were talking for like maybe a year. Eventually, the girlfriend finds out, and everything goes to the dirt, basically. We have Cammie and Neve come in and they find out that this woman's obviously a catfish, right? So finally, they're having the catfish come up and he's like, look, like maybe I'll break up with her, but if she's hot, like maybe I won't. Maybe I'll risk my relationship with my girlfriend and my daughter, like whatever. So she comes up on the Zoom. She's this young girl. And immediately this man, Dre, starts flirting with her. It is the most disturbing, creepy thing I have ever seen. And they're talking, she's, you know, pretty, and he's like, yeah, we can hit it off, whatever. All of a sudden, Dre's sister comes into the frame and says, hey, look what happened to you. I embarrassed you the way that you embarrassed your girlfriend and your daughter, and now you can deal with that. And that's how the episode kind of ends. And he does go back to his girlfriend, and I guess things are working out now. But with that said, do you think that you would make a good catfish?
I would not.
I would not. Deep fried? Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. That didn't make sense.
Deep fried?
He said deep fried catfish.
Catfish.
So I wouldn't make a great catfish because I'm like completely honest. So for me, the minute I'd be sitting there trying to create a fake profile, it would just be gone. Like I would be caught like instantly because they'd be like, are you catfishing me? I'm like, yes, I am. But like a half hour into the conversation, we'd get rid of that. So
yes, we're hooking you.
I feel like the bigger question though is, how would you react if you fell in love and then you found out your brother or sister were the ones catfishing you this entire time?
I would have closed her in the bathroom and beat her butt.
I don't have time for that.
The worst part about it is that even in the show, it talks about how he was sending explicit pics to his own sister. He's embarrassed about it in the show. And he's like, I send you quite a few pics that, you know, I can't believe that I'd send these to my sister. Mm-hmm. And her thing was, hey, I'm going to turn around and I'm just trying to teach you this lesson. And that's the whole process of this. I couldn't fathom giving my sister, well, I don't have a sister, but my brother or something like that, you know, pics of natures and all kinds of things. Like if I send them to my cousin by mistake because she's catfishing me.
But it's still gross no matter what because you have a girlfriend and a daughter. Like I was so mad at him for trying to even stay in that relationship after the fact. Like, yes, it's his sister and that's nasty, but like, you should know better. In a perfect world. It was so gross. I have no sympathy for him. And I mean, I have no sympathy for his sister either, to be honest, but.
I do that to my brother and my whole family would get involved. My mom, my dad. Why did you do that to your brother? But I was just trying to help. Then I'll get completely blocked from everyone on Facebook. It'll be a disaster.
So for those of you guys who are trying to figure out, I think Catfish is on what, Wednesday nights? It's like a COVID version. So they're doing everything through Zoom. It's not like they fly everywhere. So they have to do all of this work through Zoom. So if you guys are going to tune in, I believe it's Wednesday at 9 p.m.
and something like that.
It's the same Pacific. Yeah, 8 or 9. It's the same Pacific to Eastern. So you guys decide if you want to watch it or not. It's a great show. We think about it. But now, the moment we've been waiting for, our guest is Kathy, the Crafty Chica.
Hi.
Hey, there she is.
Can you hear me?
Hello, welcome.
You guys are lively. This show is
we're pretty energetic.
Thursday night.
Our special guest is a writer, an author, an artist, a proctologist, a flower shop owner, personal trainer, attorney, professional wrestler, and bodybuilder.
What?
And she's also the founder of an award-winning brand, Crafty Chica. We welcome Kathy to the Latin Babbler Show. How are you?
Woo! I'm having fun. Thank you for having me.
So, and obviously I made up a lot of those professions.
Now, if you pertain to crafts like bodybuilding, I work with clay. So I can like sculpt, you know, mermaids or different things. That's kind of bodybuilding, right?
It is. It does fall.
Yeah.
I don't know how the proctologist fits though. So we're going to try to figure
We'll make it fit.
In some way, shape, or form, you got to have a proctologist type craft. So Kathy, aside from everything that I said in my intro, who and what is the Crafty Chica?
Well, the Crafty Chica brand, I started it in 2001. I love to make stuff and I love to share it. And it's basically like crafty show and tell as a professional career. Because I'm a left-handed middle child Sagittarian. And so everything is like, look what I made. Be my friend. Let's go craft. Let's have a party. So I took all the things that I love to do the most, writing and making things and creativity and positivity. And I didn't realize at the time that I was building my brand that I was building a brand. I was just, you know, making it work because things were coming together. And at the time I was working at the newspaper as an entertainment reporter and I started doing a craft column and it got syndicated to 130 different newspapers. And I just realized that there were no craft tutorials for Latinas out there. And I decided, okay, then I will step up and fill this void and share tutorials. And I haven't looked back since. There's a little more to the story than that. But that's how the, quote, Crafty Chica brand all got started. And I left my newspaper job in 2007 to do crafts in all different ways, shapes, and forms full time.
Hi, Kathy. Nice to meet you. I'm Aitela Tigra. Welcome to our show and thank you for coming on our show.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I've seen you have written many books and I wanted to know what made you become an author.
Well, I've always loved making things and writing. And I will tell you, when I was in fifth grade, I'm not going to go way back when I was in fifth grade, but I mean, the first moment that I really discovered that I loved to write was I used to write these little stories and draw pictures with them. And my teacher, I did not fit in with my fifth grade class at all. I was like the only little brown girl. I was very chubby with like this black wiry hair. Everyone thought I was weird. And I just tried to be invisible. However, my teacher, she saw something in me with these stories that I wrote. And one day she had me read my stories out loud to not just my homeroom, but all of the fifth grade. And the way that everyone responded, it's like they saw me and they connected and they laughed and it just broke down so many barriers and they loved the stories. And it was at that moment where it kind of like anchored inside in my heart and my spirit of like, wow, I want to do more of this. I love how this feels. And it just really pushed me to keep on writing through high school and then, you know, working at the newspaper. And I always knew I wanted to write women's fiction novels featuring Latinas. And doing Crafty Chica and having a blog, it was kind of like my own newspaper. I did it at nighttime after I came home from writing for the daily newspaper. I wrote for my blog. And I had a book editor approach me and say, hey, we would love for you to write this book that we have an idea for. And I immediately wrote up a book proposal for a second book. And I thought, I'm going to hit this first book out of the park. They're going to love it so much that they will approve the book I want to do. And that ended up happening. And it just, you know, I have 10 books now that I've done, technically 11, but 10 of them through traditional publishing. So 7 craft books, 2 women's fiction novels, and 1 nonfiction book about Frida. And I'm working on another one that's coming up. So I just always have loved to write. And I'm one of those people, I'm very deadline oriented, I think from working at the newspaper. And I'm also very much aware that if you don't start something right now, time is going to pass and you're still going to not have done it. So why not just start right now and get it done? Because everything takes time and investing. And I thought if I want to have, you know, a book career, I need to push through and just get stuff done. And I love it. It's just really an exciting part to connect with people who love to read, whether if it's on audiobook or on a Kindle or a traditional book. And even, you know, while people are crafting, they can listen to my book. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really fulfilling part of everything that I've done.
That's really cool. I mean, I've seen that you've been writing since 2004. That's really cool. I'm definitely going to look into read some of your books. They look really interesting. And thank you for your response. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I think everyone has a book in them, you know, but there's little things that you need to know before you start writing. Like if it's nonfiction, you have to have an outline and a book proposal first. People don't know that and they want to just start writing a book. Yeah, and I encourage all of us have stories. Our stories need to be told, especially as Latinos, Latinas, Latinx. We need to get our stories out there. So I encourage everyone to pursue that.
I definitely want to write a book someday.
Good. Not someday. Attach a timeline. Like, say, within the next, you know, couple of years. Or, you know, that's the biggest thing is now I'm turning into a coach. But I just get excited for this stuff. But I'm excited for you. I hope you do pursue that path.
Thank you.
Hi, Kathy. It's Miss Rocky. How are you?
Hi, Rocky.
I have a quick question. So I know your passion. Uh-huh. You know, you just said about, you know, writing, and we should all be writing. You're an amazing, you know, crafter. Now, did that start as a child, or is that something that you became more fond with as you became an adult?
Well, you know, it's weird how things happen, because as my dad was always into engineering, my brother was always into engineering, and my little sister was like the super cute one, you know, and I thought, wow, what is my superpower? What am I good at? What do I want to do? And I'm like, well, I can doodle and I can sprinkle glitter really good. And my parents were always like, oh, I don't know if you can do a career with that. So I never really took my creativity seriously, except for the writing part of it. And it wasn't until I met my husband, who is also an artist, and he's also a musician. And we just started hanging out as friends, and with paint pens and paint and boxes and doodling and drawing. And I made some earrings, and I took them to a store, and the store owner bought like all the earrings. And I was like, oh my God, someone paid money for something that I made. And a light bulb went off. And so it's like, the whole time that I was growing up, I kind of suppressed that part of me because I didn't think I was good at it. And it also goes back to like grade school and high school. I took all these art and craft classes, but I never got higher than a C. And my every time it came to hang up pictures on the wall, like for the parent-teacher conferences, mine never got picked. And it just like does this thing to you where you feel like, wow, I love doing this, but I'm not very good at it. So I'm not going to put myself out there. And it wasn't until I met my husband, and he was just like, let's just make stuff. Like, no one's judging. Let's just do it. And I just happened, there was the store was called The Funk, the Ultimate Funk Shop Fun with a K. And the owner, it was like when In Living Color was popular, and the store owner, he loved that show. So his hair was cut. Like he like, you know, in the 90s, like just those crazy loud shirts and everything. Well, the whole like the store was like that. Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is my spirit store. You know, like my earrings will totally fit in this store. And that's when I really thought, okay, I'm going to do something with this. I'm just going to keep making things that I like to make, and they will find the right people to buy them. So it's just kind of something that I had in me, but I didn't really foster it until I was in my early 20s.
Great. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Yeah, and I think, like, just a tip to parents out there, like, really pay attention to what your kids are into and honor that, you know, see how you can help them grow it and encourage them, because they're going to have the most success doing what they love to do. So find out what that is early on and help them foster it and grow it. It will help them a lot. And my dad, he is very creative. He was super crafty and, an engineer. He did a lot of crafts as a teenager. So he could totally relate to the things that I worked on. And that was really good too. He was always proud of the what I did with Crafty Chica, and he'd show me the things that he made when he was younger. So I think it's just a nice thing to honor your kids' creativity.
Absolutely. It runs in the family,
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Kathy, it's Bree. How are you?
Hi, Bree. I'm doing good.
I just want to say that everything you are saying is extremely inspiring. And just the fact that, I also had someone in my family. My dad is my biggest supporter. He inspired me to keep going. Even when I didn't even see that in myself, he always inspired me. And I just wanted to say thank you for everything. And I love that your business motivates others to spread positivity through creativity and to never give up. I was curious, what inspired you to want to help others and to want to pay it forward?
Well, I think that a lot of it came from things that I wish I had had for me. And I know there's other people out there who just need that little bit of encouragement. They need permission to let themselves be creative, to let themselves play, to let themselves make mistakes, to let themselves experiment. And it's just so easy to be intimidated when you see all the beautiful things out there and people say, oh, I don't have any, I'm not creative, or I can't do that. I'm like, no, don't say that. Yes, you are. You just have to find your right lane, like what is right for you. And it just feels good to be able to talk to people like that. And especially like in our Latina community, there are so many wonderfully talented Latina artists, Chicana artists, and I cannot ever compete with that talent, you know, but I am very creative and I like to make things. I love to craft. And so I wanted to reach out to other women like me, young women, young girls, and say, you know what, you don't have to be like this big, deep artist. You can scrapbook, you can make jewelry, you can crochet. Like there's so many other ways to be creative. And I feel like things have come a long way. I just love to see all the things that people are making. And I think that crafting and creativity is such a great way to connect with people, bring people together. It gets people to relax. You can sit down and have a craft party with your friends, and it just takes the edge off of sometimes, you know, the rough part of life where you can just sit down with friends and paint some vases in metallic gold paint and then dip it in glitter and then spray it with triple shine gloss varnish. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And I right? love all of that too. You actually inspired me to want to craft.
Oh good, good.
Kathy, is Ms. Racky again. Now, you were saying that everybody should have some type of creativity. Now, I don't have not one artsy or crafty bone in my body. I really don't. My kids love to draw and they love to paint. And I just can't do it. Now, do you teach any type of beginner classes for someone like me that would like to acquire these type of crafty skills?
Oh, yes, I do. And I do believe that you have something, you just need to find the right one. For people who, a lot of times people think of craftiness or art is like, oh, I need to learn this specific stitch. I need to learn how to paint a face. I need to learn how to read a pattern. It's so loose now. There's so much. Paint pouring is a huge trend right now. And it's like, all you do is pick out your favorite colors and you pour them on a canvas, and then you could like attach it to a spinner, or you could just hold it up and like drip it across and let it dry. And there's so many creative things. Come over to my house. Let's find out your crafty passion. I know it's in there. But yeah, on my website, I have like well over 1,000 tutorials, and a lot of them are for every skill level. Like you can look at it if you're a newbie to crafting and say, I'm going to do this weekend. Or if you're an expert crafter, you can take it and say, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to take it up a few notches. So there really are, you know, you can go to craftychica.com or my YouTube channel and see all of the different types of projects that I share on there. And I also do a lot of classes too.
Awesome. Perfect. So everybody out there heard that, YouTube and on her website. So I will be definitely checking that out so I can learn some skills. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Hi, Crafty Chick. I'm El Boique. Welcome to the Latin Barbler Show. It's awesome to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. And then, so like my question is like, I have an 11-year-old. So what craft would you recommend for my wife, daughter, and I to do together? Like I said, she's 11 and I've, you know, sat down and done the princess thing with her and helped her with projects and things like that. But to like do something that's more, you know, like just family oriented, like for us, like what would you recommend?
Well, there's a lot of different things. I think a fun one that a lot of people have been doing, or I know for a fact a lot of people have been doing, is tie-dye. Tie-dye is no longer like the 70s hippie spiral thing that we have seen forever. There are so many fun techniques with it. Like you can take like a bucket and put your t-shirt at the bottom and then put ice on top of it. and then you drizzle the dye. The dye now, you can buy it at the craft store, and it comes in a powder form in a little bottle. You just add water and shake it, and then you drizzle it over the ice. And then when the ice melts, the dye like just kind of drips onto the shirt or the skirt or whatever, you know, a tote bag, whatever you happen to have. It makes some really cool designs on there. So that is really fun. Another fun one that I'm going to be doing this weekend are tie-dye roses. So I know you're like, what? So this is, it's also kind of sciencey, or it's very sciencey. So what you do is you can buy some white carnations or white long stem roses, and then you set it down. And this is a part that you can do. You can take a craft knife and you cut the stems into different strips. And then you take these cups of water, and you could put food coloring, say 4 cups of water. And then you take the flower with the different stem pieces, and you just kind of carefully bend them out, and you stick them in the food coloring water. And the dye will travel up through each of those stem pieces to the petals, and it will turn the petals like bright blue, bright pink, whatever colors you happen to put. So I have a YouTube video of this. It's so close to 1 million views right now. And I think I'm gonna do a new version because people liked it so much. I feel like it's time to do that project again in a different way. But it's a really fun project that you can do together because it just, food coloring and flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, on my YouTube channel, people are like, that's so mean to do that to the flower. Will it hurt the flower?
No, it's not.
And I'm like, you cut, the flower is already cut because we got it at the grocery store. So it's already gonna die because it's been cut.
Correct.
So we're just giving it a colorful last couple weeks of life. And it's just a flair. Fun. Yeah. So that is a really fun project.
That's cool. I think that one's a really good one. I like that one. So I could like finagle, bring some roses home and stuff like that. Some tarnations, and then whatnot, and then do that. That's neat. And then so I just wanted to thank you for sharing that information on writing, you know, a book and the information. Like I said earlier, the Land Babbler has been encouraging me to put my story out there, to write a book, to put the information out there. And I've been dragging my feet. So honestly, to hear you say that and share that information, super encouraging. So thank you very
much. Yes, I highly encourage you. And I have on my Crafty Chica site, you can go in the search bar and just type in book proposal. And I have an article on how to write a book proposal. And the best thing you can do before you start writing anything, because people get overwhelmed, like, oh my God, where do I start? Start with an outline. And you can even start with, you know, a one paragraph overview of what the book is about, and then your outline. And that outline, chapter by chapter, it will serve as a roadmap for you to follow, and it makes it a lot less intimidating. And then you break it down even more to say, okay, I'm going to write for 1 hour every night. And then you realize it takes a little bit of warm up. So then you take your iPhone and you set the timer for 15 minutes and you say, I'm just going to write solid for 15 minutes to get the warm up. And I guarantee you the rest, you'll be writing for 2 hours. And then, of course, you know, at the end, the first part, you just cut it off because that was your warm up. You'll know like where your warm up ends and where your real writing starts. But none of it will happen unless you sit down to do it. And I mean, and just to give you a little bit of background, like I always knew I wanted to write a novel. And when I was working at the newspaper, they kind of laughed at me because I just did crafts and I interviewed celebrities. And I just wrote, you know, I did it for National Novel Writing Month. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to write 2,000 words a night. I don't care if they suck. I'm just going to write 2,000 words a night. And the first time I finished, it was horrible. Like they sent me back to the drawing board. I gave up. A few months later, I researched how to do it properly. And then I pulled out that draft again, wiped off my tears, and I gave it a second try, and I ended up with a 2-book deal. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't just been persistent with it, because there were many times when I could have given up. But you know what I did the whole time? I just kept imagining that book on sale at the bookstore at Barnes & Noble, and I walked in and I would see it on the shelf, on the display, new in fiction. So every time I would want to give up, I just was like, no, I know it's meant to be on that table. Like, I can see it. It's waiting for me. I just have to get there. And so if that helps, you know, imagine your book cover, imagine your book signing. And if you want to make that happen, then you have to do your book.
Kathy, I'm curious, what would you consider to be your most clever arts and crafts, or your favorite one?
Oh my gosh, I always have so many, because it depends what I'm working on. So right now, I have been into making clear resin earrings. And I looked through my glitter stash and I realized I had all these different types of sparkle, like mini sequins that I got from India, rectangular shaped glitter that I got in Mexico City, little micro stars. This is too much crafty talk, but I thought, wow, wouldn't it look cool to have a pair of earrings with all of these different types of shapes and sparkles in them? So last Friday night, I like stayed up all night and made resin earrings. So it's like clear acrylic, and then you can see all the different types of sparkle in them. That has been my favorite thing. And I even in the middle of the night, I bought more molds to make more earrings. So right now I'm like on that train, the resin earring train, but it changes all the time.
That is so cool. I need to buy one of these earrings. I saw the cactus ones and I fell in love with them.
Oh, yes, yes. And the cactus, I do a lot of ceramics. So I have a kiln in my garage. So I do a lot of clay and ceramic work as well.
Kathy Babbler here. I get to ask a question. See, you get all these people asking you all kinds of questions. So I'm going to ask something that's a little bit different. I'm not going to ask a crafting question. I'm going to ask you a parenting question, because I thought it'd be fun. We're both parents. I was made aware by family members and even some of the staff that you're a proud mama to like Maya Murillo, who's actually like a video producer for BuzzFeed's like Bit of Light.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I noticed that on your crafts, it's very Latinx culture all over it. I mean, you have Latino pride on every single thing that you do. Do you feel that like your passion for spreading the Latino, you know, that passion to the Latino community, do you think that it, maybe it influenced her for what she's doing today?
Yeah. So we have two kids. Both of them grew up helping me with Crafty Chica. And I, you know, after growing up where I wasn't like super encouraged to follow my creative path, I really knew that when my kids were growing up, I wanted to pay attention to what they were into. Maya was into making comedy videos for YouTube. My son, D'Angelo, he was into gaming. And so when they each turned 16 years old, I bought them their own website and URL. So hers was Maya in the Moment. His is the Geek Life, LYFE. And here they are in their 20s, and they are still, they're businesses for both of them. And, you know, my husband is Mexican American, I'm Mexican American. So it was just like a natural thing that they grew up helping us with our art shows, with concerts, you know, helping with production for the things that we make to sell. That's our family business. Like, some families have a bakery, some families, you know, have a store. Well, we have an art business. So it was just naturally ingrained in them to grow up with that. And yeah, and she has taken it so much further than anything she learned at home. You know, she went into BuzzFeed being the only one on the Fedelite team who did not speak Spanish. And she drove over there, she moved over there. all by herself, and boom, there was a guy from El Salvador, a guy from the Dominican Republic, two women from Puerto Rico, and here she's Mexican-American from Phoenix. But you know what? She ended up learning Spanish, and they all coached her and helped her, and it just really helped her come into her own as far as her own connection to her culture and the content and the messages that she wants to share. So I think I'd like to think that my husband and I planted the seed in both of the kids, and then they took it to grow, and they found their own flower pot, their own way to make it shine. So I'm just so proud of both of them. You know, they're doing their thing and making it happen.
Are you offering or doing virtual seminars now due to the pandemic? Because I know you to teach classes.
Yes. So one of the things, I look at all of this because I also co-own a gallery and boutique here in Phoenix. And it was amazing. Like, we still have it. We actually are expanding right now. But before the pandemic happened, we were having pop-ups, workshops. I mean, it was packed every weekend. And then the pandemic came and we had to temporarily close. We had to stop the workshops, stop the pop-ups, everything. And it just, everyone had to take a minute to... We're still adjusting to everything. And what I noticed, my first purpose of everything is, how can I serve people? Like, how can I bring people together in using creativity? And this is during the time, I think it was in March, and everyone was on lockdown. And it also happened to be National Craft Month. And I thought, well, you know what? As a way to spotlight Latinx creatives, I started this thing on Instagram Live called Corazon Craft Night. So I would invite 8 different Latinx influencers, creatives, crafters, makers, personalities to go do a 15-minute Instagram Live teaching something. And it's here it is. We've just finished, you know, then it moved to every other Thursday when people, things loosened up, and it was like people started having appointments and things. But it was just such a great way to evolve and find a new way to create community. So that was one way. Another way was I noticed that when the pandemic started, my site traffic went through the roof. Like, everyone was looking for craft tutorials of things to make at home, and they were ordering online. So I immediately doubled the amount of content that I was putting out, and I started creating shopping lists that people could just click to buy the supplies to have them delivered to their home to make the projects. I started doing more lives, and now I'm working with a platform called Together Now to teach online classes. And so I had my first official online class last week. We had 100 people sign up. So now I'm setting up some other ones to do. So I just really, I think I've just always been about, instead of complaining about things, I'm like, what is the solution to this? Like, how do we make this work? How do we evolve? Yes, exactly. How do we make it work? And when the whole, you know, the mask thing, where it was like, do we make masks? No, it's not the right fabric. It has to be professional masks. And then they're like, yes, everyone needs a mask. So a lot of women, and men too, what they wanted to make and sell masks. And some people not even selling them, they're like, how do I make a mask? They were cutting up bed sheets to make their own masks and cutting up t-shirts. So I immediately jumped on that, did some tutorials, how to make masks, how to do batch making in masks to sell. And it's so funny because all of the creatives who were switched from doing art, switched to doing mask and making and selling masks. And then we're like, we're done with making masks. I don't want to make another mask. So then we started ordering them like from fair trade companies in Guatemala or in Mexico City to help the communities there. So there's just always a way to make things work. And
of course.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like this whole time has pushed us to evolve our businesses.
Exactly. I've always thought mm-hmm. that this situation, we have to make it into a positive. That's what we need to do.
Exactly. Because we will get through it and we're going to look back and I mean, wow, this is history, like mm-hmm. hardcore history being made right now, that these are stories that we're going to be telling our grandkids and, you know, or even great grandkids that, you know, like the Spanish flu, when we look at those pictures in the future, they're going to be looking back at everything we're doing right now.
Exactly.
It's just so huge. And that's overwhelming to think about. So,
of course,
definitely crafting can take the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, you have to. A lot of people are doing masks. I did a mask out of bandanas with rubber mm-hmm. bands. And I was
exactly. Well,
thank you so much. I appreciate all your input. I'm definitely going to think about doing the book. I do poetry. So I want to do a poetry book.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I mean, get on Google and research and look up Facebook groups like poetry writing groups. I find a lot of great resources in those groups. Like everything, we just got during the pandemic, we discovered plants like everybody else with a fiddle leaf fig plant. My husband and I joined a fiddle leaf fig Facebook group. And so there's a group, there's resources for everything.
Yeah,
so
there's
take
everything
advantage of
online.
Those. We are not alone in this. So there's a lot of people
not.
who are out there to help and encourage you. Oh, thank you for having me. This was really fun. I'm really honored.
I think the ones who are honored at us, you're extremely bubbly. I don't know, you're a lot bubblier than we are for a Thursday.
Yeah,
I think everybody in this chat literally just wants to take you home and like hug you and have hot cocoa with you or something.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. Yeah, or coffee. Yes.
Right? She's like, I'm not going to take the hugs or the chocolate, but we'll go with the coffee because, you know.
Yeah. Well, when this is all over with, we can connect and have a craft party or a meetup or something. That would be really fun.
That would be amazing.
I would love that. Yeah.
Like you can take the show on the road.
Yeah. Like a live version of the Babbler doing crafts and stuff. That would be amazing. For those of us who are, for everybody who's listening to the show today, we are actually doing a giveaway. So if you go on the Latin Babbler site today and go to the contest section, there you will see a Crafty Chica contest. All you have to do is register for the newsletter. You just put your email there and it puts you in a chance to win 4 amazing items that's on her website. So you can get the mug, you can get the cactus earrings we were talking about earlier. You can get a self-love and confidence candle made out of natural soy. And you'll also get her Forever Friday book. So that way you guys can turn around and have like the ultimate evening with the candle and the coffee and put your nice earrings on and read a nice book. So go on the site today, register, and then we will announce the winner through the email. We'll send it right back out. Now that we've had her on the show, I want to thank you again. If you're looking to check out Kathy's videos and merchandise, you can go to craftychica.com, follow her at Crafty Chica on all of the social medias. And if you're not following us yet, we just got a new Instagram set up. So it's the Latin Babbler Show on both Instagram, Facebook, and go ahead and just reach us out. Go to latinbabbler.com, look at all the episodes that we've done there. Kathy, thank you very much for coming on the show. We're really grateful for you taking this time to give us all of your feedback. I think I'm going to write about 6 books tonight and have them ready for tomorrow.
So, right?
All right, guys. So thank you once again for coming to our Latin Babbler show. We are out for the evening.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
Bye. Have a great weekend. Thank you again.